You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 4th show. It's a great day to talk money. That's why I'm here. And that's what the show is all about, how to make money, save money, to have a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. But to talk with the guests that I have in studio or to chat with me, you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And right now in studio, Barry Bergner and Enrico Pozzo with RealLogic Sotheby International Realty. And we're going to talk about floating homes in the Northwest. And very excited to have you guys in studio. Thank you so much, Barry. This is the first time, or you've been here, Barry. Oh, yeah. Enrico, this is the first time that I've had a conversation with you, so very excited.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And a little bit about Enrico. A passionate real estate professional with over a decade of experience and proven results, Enrico is one of the most respected brokers among his peers and clientele alike. Experience, knowledge, innovative, and a commitment to his clients are the foundation of his business. Enrico has been acknowledged with numerous distinctive top sales awards, both locally, nationally, and internationally, and consistently ranks in the top 1% of brokers. Enrico and his team provide a depth of market knowledge and a keen understanding of diverse property types, including unique specialties in floating home residence, waterfront residence, condominiums, single family homes. He's respected in the agent community with proven strength and initiative solutions and negotiation, both skilled critically and close to your home successfully. A little bit about Barry. Barry has been selling real estate for 13 years, experience and voted best in client satisfaction as published in Seattle Magazine every year since 2005. He's a certified negotiation expert, certified residential specialist, and has been given has his green realtor designation and accredited staging professional. So again, as we took us to commercial, let my listeners know how excited I am for this segment and conversation with you guys, because we're talking about floating homes, and what a better place to buy a floating home than right here in the Seattle area. So Barry, how long have the two of you been partnering together?
Enrico and I started working together started selling real estate in 2002, and it took us 10 years to figure out that we'd like to partner together. Uh-huh. So since 2012. And the motivation behind that was twofold. One, to offer our clients better service, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's always somebody there. If one of us is busy, there's always somebody there to help, collaborate on issues. There's always something new that's coming up, something we haven't run into before. So we collaborate on strategy and marketing. And so second reason was with this profession, you can work 24/7 mm-hmm. for a whole lot of days in a row. And we wanted more balance in our life. And so working together affords us the opportunity to take vacations and know that our clients are going to be well taken care of.
That's awesome. And obviously with the time that you guys have been working together, because it's hard to do that unless it's the right partnership. And you guys have proven that obviously with the time behind it. So that also means obviously you've got a great balance there, which is going to be great for your clients. So I've been doing this hype up on what we're going to talk about, which is about floating homes, but that's not all that you guys do. So can you share with my listeners, what type of properties do you guys sell?
Yeah. So our website, seattlebydesign.com, is really mm-hmm. known for floating homes and condominiums. However, we do most of our business by referral. So uh-huh. because of that, we sell single family homes, town homes, waterfront homes, pretty much the whole.
So anything that your clients need, it's just you have that niche.
Correct.
For the water, the floating homes and homes.
Correct.
On the water. So Enrico, are there different types of houseboats out there?
Definitely. There's there's almost as many types as there are houseboats.
Uh-huh.
There, But there are two main categories. There are floating homes, and they're also what are now called on-water residences, which are, in the past, we used to call those house barges. And
okay.
They're differentiated. Like if you think of the movie Sleepless in Seattle, yeah. That's a floating home.
Okay.
And it really looks like a traditional home built on top of a raft or a float.
Okay.
A house barge or an on-water residence has a hull, similar to a boat. It's more boat-like. And sometimes they have an engine,
uh-huh.
But they do have a hull. And it requires completely different kind of maintenance, they're financed differently.
So what's the ratio difference between, I mean, would you say it's 50-50 or majority?
No, the majority are floating homes.
Okay.
And I think maybe there's like 20-80. I think yep. That's the ratio.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But that's a guess. I don't have that number exactly. I know
sure.
There's about 500 floating homes. I'm work much less in the kind of house barge range.
Okay. So again, any other difference between the floating homes and the houseboats?
Among floating homes, there are differences uh-huh. as well. Like it has a lot to do with the. With the community that it's built in.
Okay.
Some communities are condominiums. Some communities are co-ops. Others are lease docks. And then there are also some private docks where uh-huh. people own they don't only own the floating home, but they also own land up the upland property. Sometimes there's a house on top of it and it's all one, considered to be one property.
Okay. So a lot of different types of floating homes.
And each time we take on a listing, we just have to kind of figure the puzzle out. What do we have to work with here?
Yeah.
And it, often requires different types of inspections and different types of lenders.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes title insurance is available. Sometimes it's not.
So what about where you can find these floating homes in Seattle, and how many are there?
There are about 500 left.
There's 500 left, meaning just 500, not on the market, obviously, but there's a total, or is there 500 on the market?
No.
Yeah, no.
There's about 500 total floating homes in Seattle left.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying that because there used to be about 2,000 of them.
So what happened to the other 1,500?
Well, a lot of those have been eliminated over time, and a lot of that actually had to do with the construction of I-5 when I-5 was being constructed on the
uh-huh.
and kind of start to straddle the north side of the lake. The other thing had to do with the World Fair in 1962. At the very bottom of the lake, they were going to build a boatel for the World Fair. And they eliminated some floating home communities, and they were never, the boatel was never built.
Okay.
Now, the reason, if you go to East Lake and you go to the Fairview, the docks on Fairview, you see that
yes.
they're much longer than they're anywhere else. And that had to do primarily with the construction of I-5. A lot of those floating homes that were removed from docks there were actually then allowed to be tacked on to existing docks on Fairview.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why sometimes you see about 18, 19 floating homes on a dock on the Fairview side.
Okay.
Other sides tend to be shorter.
So but, it's such know, a... Oh, go
you
ahead.
You asked me which neighborhoods, where yeah. you can find floating homes mm-hmm. in Seattle. And, you'll find them on the Fairview side, so the
uh-huh.
East Lake side,
mm-hmm.
West Lake side. There's some in Fremont. And then there's some in Portage Bay. On both the North Shore and the South Shore.
Got it. So how is the competitiveness in the market on that? I mean, when you're not buying a floating house and what's happening in the other market, I mean, do you have competitive bidding going on when there's an available property?
It's been a very interesting year this year.
Uh-huh.
Some floating homes have sold right away and above asking, where there has been a bidding war. But
uh-huh.
overall, it's been a little bit slower start. However, traditionally, this is kind of when the season begins, right before the 4th.
That makes sense.
4th of July.
That might be nice to live on one of those.
brings a lot of people by, and people start to dream about living on a floating home.
Yes.
And that's really when the sales. So our market is just beginning.
Got it. So how did this come about that you got interested in being an expert in the floating home market?
Well, it's kind of where my whole past comes together.
Uh-huh.
I was raised in a boat building family. Okay. My background is architecture, and you put the two together, and you know, you kind of have a floating home. And it's, it, you know, I moved here. I was raised in the Netherlands, kind of a you know, seafaring nation. And when I moved here to Seattle, and I discovered these properties, I just instantly fell in love. And you know, similar to the Netherlands, also on a floating home, you live really close to your neighbors, and it's very social. And there, that's the best part about it. Like, you don't see that, but you, you know, what's wonderful is the social.
Do you live on a floating home?
I lived on it for 10 years.
Okay. All righty. So Barry, financing, all my listeners know that's my expertise is doing mortgages, but I don't have any options to finance a floating home. So where do you find financing for your clients? What banks out there are financing floating homes?
Right.
And how is it different from a traditional loan that I would do?
Yeah. So floating homes are a different animal, and lenders tend to not to like different things.
Yes. They're getting a little better now, but yes, you're correct.
Yeah. So it does change, but locally there's three banks: Sound Community Bank, Seattle Metropolitan Credit Union, and Pacific Crest Savings Bank.
Okay.
That are financing most of the floating homes. The interest rate can be slightly higher.
All right, which is not bad when interest rates are under 4% right now.
Right.
So.
And the term of the loans can be a little bit shorter, too. So typical term of the loan is 25 years versus 30 years.
Which is not bad. So there's no balloon payments or crazy things like that in when you're getting into financing floating homes.
Correct.
Yeah. What about the down payment requirements? What's a minimum down payment for a floating home?
I believe it's 10%.
Okay, so that's not bad. I mean, it's, you know, there's good financing that's available for them. So does a floating home require more maintenance, Enrico?
I would like to actually say that that it requires less maintenance.
Really? You know, that's a surprising answer. I would think there would be a lot more maintenance.
You know, a lot of people are worried about you know, about moisture problems and humidity, and that's not a problem at all. Really, you know, a floating home functions very much like a single family home, and it's built exactly the same.
Okay.
It's just built on top of a float and a raft.
Okay.
Even above the waterline, you know, the inspectors that we use are just on land inspectors.
So let's talk about that, because you'd mentioned inspectors before. So what is the difference when you're getting your home inspected of a floating home versus a traditional house? What's the difference between the inspection for that?
Well, the big difference is an underwater inspection. So we, you know, we get divers to go underneath.
Oh, wow.
And they look at the... You know, there's different types of foundations. They're concrete foundations.
Okay.
Some of them are concrete rafts. Others are concrete basements, and they're kind of giant tubs. I have a client whose daughter lives underwater, actually, and she has a giant porthole, and she can look through the window and see fish and turtles swim by.
So. Oh, my gosh. That
and her,
is
her
so
father dives
cool.
in the water every 3 months and cleans the window.
Really? Wow.
But, you know, and then there's the traditional rafts that were constructed by the loggers ever since the early 1900s, around 1900. A lot of the logs are still from the 1890s, actually, when you see those.
So
they're white cedar logs, and they're like, kind of like inverted pyramids of logs with stringers over them to form a raft, and then a house is built on top of them.
Okay. Tell the story about the houseboats and, you know, who lived in the houseboats before they actually started becoming popular and people bought them. Because I think it's just amazing, the history.
You know, the history, as far as I know it, it really started with the loggers. You know, people that just didn't have any money to live on land. And both East Lake and West Lake were flanked by logging companies. That's when it was a working lake. And, the tall ships would come in and they would load up timber to take elsewhere. And
they were just shacks back then.
And they just, you know, were building little shacks on top of the lake. Now, you know, the wealthy kind of looked at that and it's like, well, that's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So pretty much instantaneously, they started to claim their spots as well.
Yes, makes sense.
And so they were always built side by side.
So you also talked briefly, but I like to go back there about the community and the lifestyle of, you know, what it's like living on a floating home and, you know, the community that you have with your neighbors. I would imagine the dynamics has got to be a little bit more special than a traditional neighborhood.
It is. I mean, I have some of my favorite memories in Seattle there. Uh-huh. You know, my wife and I, we got married on a dock, you know, where the minister actually was a person that lived on the dock.
Uh-huh.
He's a pretty well-known Seattle, you know, author that lived in Seattle. And I remember, you know, we had guests just like a traditional wedding, but the people on the dock, they, on their houseboats, they had tables with food that they had prepared. And then the men were dressed in what was called dock formal, which means that it's shorts, and then a suit and tie from the waist up.
Okay, right? Nice. So prices, I'm sure there's a range of different costs associated when you're purchasing a floating home. So what is that range? Anything that's on the market right now? I mean, what are you looking at?
Well, anywhere from $400,000 to $3.5 million.
Yeah, that's a huge range. So you can get a $400,000 houseboat.
It's going to need some work.
Yeah. Okay.
But
so not a move-in ready then. That's
it's going to be small and probably not in great condition. It's
okay.
Going to probably need some updating.
Okay, and then it goes all the way up to that 3.5.
Yeah, and typically as you get out farther on the dock, the homes get more expensive. There was recently, actually just today, a home came on the market for $3.2 million. Uh-huh. Dollars in Ward's Cove, and anybody out there interested, let us know. We'd be happy to arrange a showing for you.
You heard it right here, just listed.
Yeah, just listed.
Uh huh.
And totally wide range, something for every budget.
Yeah. So, what about how many approximately are available right now? Do you guys know?
I think there's probably like eight or ten of them are currently listed. Never much of a selection. So generally, I meet clients, and I keep track of them, and I put them on a search.
Yeah.
And as soon as one comes available, I send it to them. And if it clicks, if it's a match for what they're hoping to find, I just advise them to go take a look at it right away.
So I'm really surprised, and I mean, I don't live on a floating home, but I'm here asking, you know, there's only 8 properties available. Our market is crazy. Why are they not more popular? I mean, us Seattle people, we love the water. It would just be amazing lifestyle. So why aren't there just tons of people that are trying to get those only 8 available and you're not seeing multiple?
Well, we are seeing multiple. Seeing multiple of it, but it varies a little bit from houseboat to houseboat, and it's just not been as aggressive as single family homes. And now, it actually normally the trend is actually that floating homes are kind of the highest appreciating asset in Seattle.
Really,
because it's like owning downtown waterfront.
Yes, exactly.
You know? And it's very unique to, you know, Seattle also has a very unique floating home community in the sense that it's fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
So others like communities like Victoria and Vancouver and also Sausalito, they're affected by tide. So sometimes they have like 8-foot swings between high and low tide. Here, the level is pretty much consistent. It varies a little bit between winter and summer by about a foot and a half.
Uh-huh.
And then also the proximity to the downtown core is very, very close. And,
yes.
And again, Vancouver and Victoria, it's a little bit more further removed from downtown.
Yeah.
Actually, Victoria is fairly close.
So we're hearing a lot, you know, a lot more, especially in the Seattle market, about Airbnbs. And can you buy one of these maybe 8 houseboats out there right now and run an Airbnb?
You know, that is very unlikely that you're going to find one.
Because that would be really profitable.
There are a few properties where you could do that with, but pretty much those are going to be private properties.
Uh-huh.
Most condominium and co-op docks, they have rules for rentals. Some of them don't even allow rentals at all.
Wow.
And others will only allow long-term rentals. And some of them only will allow rentals either during hardship or during, let's say, like a sabbatical.
Well, I guess that makes sense because it's such a niche community that you want to keep the spirit of that and not, you know, not have renters in there and, you know, definitely people coming in on short term. So that makes sense. It's protecting the community there for the homeowners.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't forget, sound travels over the water. So, you know,
yes.
If you have somebody come in over the weekend, they throw a party on it. It's just a nuisance to all the other neighbors.
Of course.
Why they're a little bit more protective.
Makes total sense. What about additional monthly fees that are associated to owning a floating home?
Well, often on a co-op or a condominium dock, you have homeowner dues.
Uh-huh.
Often that includes water, sewer, garbage. On condo dock, the taxes for the slip and for the houseboat are paid separately. On a co-op dock, the taxes for the slip are included in your homeowner dues.
Okay.
So that's that's one thing to be aware about.
Yeah. Property taxes. I know, like right now, it's probably around 1 to 1.2% at the high end. What is that in comparison to floating homes?
It varies from community to community.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no set rule.
And are there still spots available that you can purchase and then put up your own? That they're seeing, you know, that people are actually building houseboats?
You know, the community that that Barry was just talking about, where that really expensive houseboat came on for $3.2 million today, it's called Ward's Cove. And that has been the last community where new slips came available. And, you know, each of the houseboats is brand new. And a few of them are still in the construction and being built right now. But I think from now on, it's going to become more and more difficult as, you know, because all the mortgage now is required to be conforming mortgage. And so the problem is you don't only need to have the water space, but you also need to have upland parking available to be able to construct a residence there.
Okay, okay. So what else is happening in your guys' arena and this craziness going on, in expert advice that you have for my listeners? Barry, what do you got for them?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I have so many people... friends and it's a great market, you know. It's a hard market. It's a great market for sellers.
Yes.
And you know, 6 years ago buyers were beating up sellers, and now sellers are beating up buyers. So it takes a lot of preparation. You know, get prepared as you can. You know, you're probably aware, you know, get your buyers fully underwritten before you make an offer, and then have great strategies to increase your chances to be the successful buyer that's, you know, out of the 10, 12 offers that you're probably going to be competing against.
Yeah, well said. The key thing is to have the right people working for you and have the process and that negotiation and the strategy, as you said, prepared so that you can go out there and win. Well, thanks you guys for coming in. It was fun having a conversation about floating homes, and I appreciate your time today.
Great. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you. So nice to meet you.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for listening to the show. I will be back same time, same place next Saturday right here at 11:50 a.m. KKNW.